told them the entire 40 years. I brought you out of Egypt. We are headed toward the promised land. Should have been an 11-day journey, but it took over 40 years because of the unbelief. He said, I brought you out because I have a marvelous place to bring you into. And so right now, some of you might be in the middle of this 40 years of wandering, or at least it seems like a 40 years. You think it's never going to get there. I'm never going to get the degree. I'm never going to get the mate. I'm never going to get the finances. The health is never going to get there. I'm never going to get all this. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but you just need to keep moving forward. Because God has promised you, if you lean into Him. Now, He didn't promise you that it would be easy. See, that's where we sometimes misunderstand God's plan. We think that it's just going to be easy. That it's going to be smooth sailing, no problem. Fall in our laps, fall back in it. And generally, that's not how that works. Because He wants you to see Him, feel Him, hear Him in that process. And you're not going to do that if it's easy. Because I tend to hear God's voice a whole lot louder in difficult times than I do when things are good. When things are as I think they should be. God did not bring you out to wander forever, to be intimidated, to be frustrated, or to be destroyed. No, not at all. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, you shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way. I wish that was capitalized. In all, not just a little bit, 25%, maybe a third. No, he says you need to walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. It may seem tough. It may seem difficult. It may not seem achievable. So it doesn't matter. Have faith. God's not going to lead you anywhere that you cannot get this done. All the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may go well with you. And that you may live long in the land that you possess. Do you want to live long in the land, in the promised land of good finances? Do you want to live long in the promised land of good health? Do you want to live long in the land of promised land of good relationship and on and on and on? He says one of the ways that's going to happen is you just got to trust God in everything that He says. It may not make sense to you. It ain't always got to make sense to you. It ain't always got to be rational. And that's very frustrating for folks like me, who the puzzle pieces have to fit. The puzzle pieces have to fit. They got to fit before it makes sense to me. And it frustrates me to no end to be around people who says, the puzzle ain't got to fit. I trust God. I trust God. The picture ain't got to make sense to me because it already makes sense to Him. In all the way that your Lord God has commanded you. The more they focused on the negative, the bigger that negative got. You ever heard the term making a mountain out of a molehill? You ever done that? It's something that's an issue. Okay, it is. It's a difficulty, sure. But it's going to be fixed. No problem. But you ponder on it. You worry about it. You get upset about it. I mean, it's going to be fine. I told him I'd work it in, and I hope he's watching. I told him it might just jump into my head when I need it to, so here we go. Our buddy, I got a buddy. I'm going to say who it is. I got a buddy who bought a brand new vehicle. Brand new vehicle, 4 miles on it. 4 miles on it. And he drives off the lot very recently. 4 miles. Did I say 4 miles? Brand new. 4 miles on the speedometer. He gets not even a mile down the road, and wham, somebody hits him in the rear end. Oh, he's just sick. I'm sick for him. But he's pretty cool about it. He said, you know, no problem. I got insurance. They're going to fix it. It'll never look like it ever happened. And he's like, no big deal. And I appreciate that attitude. But if we continue, oh, dear Lord, I'm going to have to drive that brand new truck. And I would lie. I would have lied awake worried about this dumb tailgate, thinking it looks terrible. I got a brand new car. Whatever. You've probably done that you made something a lot worse than what it needed to be. I heard our buddy Patrick Mead recently, and some of you listened to his Monday morning messages on YouTube. Some of you listened to his midweek Bible class. Please do that. I would encourage you to do so. Patrick Mead, Our Safe Harbor. But he mentioned, and I'd never heard this before, but he dives a lot deeper than most of us ever will and do. And he reads a lot of other things. He said, we've generally been taught, most of us, that Goliath was probably over 9 foot tall. And I have said that many times in sermons or in discussions, that Goliath, he was over 9 foot tall. But he has come up with this idea from various sources that that's probably not true. Goliath wasn't near that big. He might have been maybe 6 foot something, which still would have been big, maybe in that day and time. But he wasn't 9 foot, according to him. See, because the story has perpetuated year after year after year, and all of a sudden, maybe Goliath started out as a 6 foot dude, but by the time we got to 2022, he'd already grown to 9 feet. And we've made him a lot bigger, badder, meaner than what he really was. And so when these 10 spies come back and all they want to talk about are these giants and these powerful folks and this land that devours and these thick walls, the more you talk about it, the more you worry about it. The more you talk about it, the bigger they get. The more you talk about it, they seem insurmountable and unavoidable. Really quick, there are at least maybe three different things that kept them, that did keep them out of the promised land. So the first one, you've done seen the second one, the first one is it's unbelief. They could not enter in because of their unbelief. It wasn't the giants or the land or the army. We talked about the Hebrews chapter 3 verse where it says they didn't enter because of their unbelief. All they had were excuses. Well, I can't because of. We can't because of these four things. I can't because of this. I can't because of that or the other. How many times in your life, and I know how many times, how many times in my life I've said, well, I'd like to this, I'd like to that, I'd like to the other, but I can't because of some perceived difficulty. I'd love to do it, and it would be great, and probably bless my family, probably bless me, but I can't because of some stumbling block here that I just don't know that I can overcome. And oftentimes, it's not a reason, it's just an excuse because I'm afraid to try, afraid I'll fail, afraid that God ain't got it. But God has got it. What is it that's keeping you out of your promised land? What is it that you have a desire to do? What is a goal? What is a bucket list thing? And you can sit there and all of you can think of something. And again, it could fall in under the realm of financial or relational or health or whatever. What is your promised land? What would you love to do? And now, why aren't you doing it? What excuses are you using to not do X? Whatever X might be. But you don't understand. What is your excuse? Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 4, and the verse number is 19, my God, and see his God, this is cool, Paul's God is your God. So when he says my God, he says your God, our God. He says our God will meet all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. We'll meet all of them. We'll meet them all. So one of the things that will keep you out of your promised land is your unbelief in being able to do it. That something's out there is stronger than what you can overcome. Another thing that kept the Israelites, a majority of them, out of the land of promise was intimidation. Two said, we can. Joshua and Caleb both came back and said, hey, no problem. God, when do you need us to leave? You just tell us when to pack up. We're ready to go. Those things that we saw there, no big deal. They really not giants. They really not that strong. The land really don't devour. The walls aren't that tall. No problem. We know you're behind us. You've led us all this way. Why would you lead us all this way to disappoint us now? So two said we can, but 10 said that we cannot. And I want you to take note that early on in the chapter, chapter 13, we read the list of the 12 spies. We read the list of, of, of the 12 leaders of these tribes. But after this, we only read again of two of them. We don't read of the Cants anymore. We only read of the two Cans. And I don't know about you, but I would prefer to spend time with Can people. Let them be in my circle. I'd prefer to be around folks who says it can be done. Oh, it may be difficult. It may take a little time. It may require some pain. May require some blood, sweat, tears, all that jazz, some discipline. But we can do it. You see, one of the reasons why these motivational speakers make all this money is because they make this money built on saying you can. So we didn't hear any more about the Can't folks. See, a lot of the stuff that I grew up hearing from my church background theology, it was all the stuff I couldn't do. All the stuff you couldn't do. You can't this, you can't that, you can't this, you can't that, you can't the other. And I grew up thinking, well, what can I do? Well, besides going to church and participating in the five acts of worship and doing all that apparently makes him happy and singing the right songs and doing the right things, what else can I do? Because I know a whole lot about the Can'ts. I'd rather focus on the Can'ts. We understand there are some Can'ts. I get it. I'm not saying there's not some Can'ts. Some stuff that we need to stay away from. Some things that God said will cause you death, pain, difficulty. There's some Can'ts. I get it. And we need to acknowledge those, but I want to focus by and large on the Cans. Because my God is a God of Can. We tend to remember the Can people who have encouraged us and inspired us to great things. Sometimes we are so intimidated by what lay ahead that we're not going to do it unless God shoves us out. Just shoves us out into the street. God has shoved me many times when I didn't want to go, when I didn't have the courage to do it. He just shoved me out, and every time it's worked. I heard the story not long ago of there was a man who lived in Texas, millionaire, had lots and lots and lots of money. And it was told that he was going to have this giant party, and he was just inviting folks from his neighborhood, and he was going to feed them and all that. So they all showed up at his house. A lot of them had never been to this big mansion before. So they got there, and they're out back on the patio where he's cooking all the stuff, and they notice he has a swimming pool, and the swimming pool is full of alligators. And so someone obviously said, "Hey, dude, what's with the alligators?" And he said, "Well," he said, I am a man who I'm impressed with courage." And he said, "It's been known throughout this community, but some of y'all are new, so I'll tell you, if anybody can jump into this pool of mine full of alligators and swim to the other end, if you can do that, I will write you a $1 million check on the spot." And they all just oohed and awed. And he said, "Well, the hot dogs are done." So they turned around and started to go to the place where they were going to eat, and they heard a big splash. And so they turned around, and sure enough, there's this guy. And he is in this pool, and he is swimming like an Olympic swimmer. He is dodging alligators. He is doing all he can. And he gets to the other side miraculously. And so the millionaire runs over to him. He says, "I can't believe that. That was the most amazing thing I have seen. You have the greatest courage." He said, "That is unreal." He said, "Please give me the correct spelling of your name." And he said, "I'll write you your check right now." He said, "I don't care a thing about that check or that money. What I want to know is who pushed me in." Anybody ever have the game Pitfall on Atari? You remember that? You jump on top of the alligator's heads. That's what he was doing. And there have been times when God pushed me in, I'm like, "God, I hope you know what you're doing, because I can't swim too well." but he always came through. And so sometimes, perhaps when we are intimidated, God has to give us just a little nudge. And then finally, perhaps the greatest reason they thought in their minds that they could not achieve or enter into the land of promise was because, says at the end of verse number 33, now Remember, they are saying this about themselves. These folks that they went and spied on in the promised land, they've not come back to tell Moses this. The Israelites are saying about themselves that we seemed like grasshoppers. And I never thought about this before. I knew that, you know, they said that they thought that other people thought they were grasshoppers. But they said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We have no faith in us because they're this big and they're this wide and they are this powerful. We have no faith in us. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and as a result, they saw us like grasshoppers too. And here's what I know. If you play a sport, if you're in business, whatever the case might be, and you're in some competition, if you walk onto that floor and say, wow, look at those folks. I'll never forget way back in the day when I was playing high school basketball, we went to Columbia Central, and they had a guy named Larry Marks, big guy, real big guy, and he could just dunk every time he got the basketball. We walked out there with our mouths open. We knew we were defeated immediately right then. Sure enough, they mopped us up. Because we were already beat in our minds. It was done. We should never even tip the ball because it was over before it even got started. And so the Israelites were saying, well, we're little grasshoppers. And if you act like little grasshoppers in front of your enemy, you know what they're going to say? You're right. Because that just continues to give them a stronghold to do whatever it is that they want to do with you. Just gives your enemies more ammunition. But it didn't just say, one person didn't say I. He said, we see ourselves. So it's not only do I see myself as insignificant, as not having the ability to do what God needs me to do, I see you as grasshoppers too. I see the whole bunch that I hang out with, the whole bunch that I worship with, as grasshoppers too. See, because that pitiful negative attitude, it'll go through this place like fire. You ever been in a business team, whatever the case might be, church, where the morale was just negative? You just knew, and you knew that it didn't used to be like that. But something happened, maybe to just one little small segment of a group of folks, maybe just one or two people. And they just continue to talk about it, continue to wallow in it, continue to be sad, continue to have a cloud over their life. And eventually, if that happens long enough, that cloud starts spreading. And then before you know it, everybody in the office, everybody on the team, everybody in the school, everybody in the business, they have a cloud over their head too because it started with one little thing over here. Well, I'm a poor, pitiful grasshopper. Well, I guess I must be a pitiful grasshopper too if I'm hanging out with this grasshopper. It makes us all grasshoppers. And then it makes the enemy feel even more sure about defeating us. But I don't see us here as grasshoppers. I bless you. It's amazing. And I've talked to more folks about this recently, maybe because we just celebrated our 7th year anniversary, whatever, and moving into our 8th. And just told folks, it's amazing what God has done, what started out as a dance hall, and what God has done in this little church, in this little town. This ain't a church of grasshoppers. You encourage me with your faith. Fact of the matter is a lot of the stuff around here wouldn't happen were it not the faith that you had to encourage me to say, yeah, I think we can do that. I'm somewhat ashamed at times of the lack of faith that I have, but I'm so thankful that God has placed me right in the middle of people who are full of faith. And that's you. Every one of you. You know how I know you're faithful? You keep showing up either here. Those of you who continue every single week to check in on Facebook, I know you're faithful. You know how I'm faithful? Because you continue writing those checks. And I hope that you can say in a very honest way that you do not hear us ask for money. Every blue moon, maybe once a year, we'll say, hey, you know, we got some of these projects. But we don't get up here and beg you for money because you done got it figured out. You give it because you know it's not yours. And God continues to replenish your coffers. Doesn't he? Isn't it amazing how you think, well, I'm going to give it. It's kind of tough. And then the next week something happens. You get the extra job. Some check comes in. I don't know what the case might be. But I am not in a church full of grasshoppers. And I am so thankful. We own this entire building right now because we're not a church of grasshoppers. We're going to be able to improve our facility, not to make it really splendid. People go, wow, but for it to be functional. It's not going to be lined with gold and things that are expensive. I promise you, we are pinching pennies when we're buying all these materials. I promise you. Matter of fact, I can say this. So we have a double set of doors right here that Jim is peeping through. And then we have another set of doors. And this set of doors and the other set of doors exactly alike, they cost about $2,500. So we thought, well, we're going to have to spend $2,500 again for the next set of doors down there. Well, guess what? We spent $300 on the same kind of doors for that next opening because we went shopping at a place and refurbished and stuff, little dent, $300. So what I'm saying is, I promise you, we're trying to be diligent with your money. Okay? But it's going to be something that you're proud of. I hope it's going to be something that you want to be a part of and you know to use for your whatever events you have, all these different things. It nothing fancy. But all of this is happening and is happening, number one, because we serve a good God who rewards us and who blesses us. And because those of you watching, are a part of a church that's not full of grasshoppers, but a church that's faith-based, and who believe in God and believe in each other. I won't read it, but you can go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it'll talk about how that the church is like a body. The church is like a body. And that some of you are the eye, some of you are the ears, some of you are the fingers, some of you are the toes, some of you are the heart, some of you the lung, some of you the kidney, some of you, just whatever it might be. And the Apostle Paul would say, and every single member is super important, and not one is more important than the other. So please don't ever feel like you are not of use or that you are not of value to this church, because every single person, every single child, all of you watching on Facebook, for all that you do, you're valuable. And you're not grasshoppers. So as we close, so the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. So here is this community, not only of these 10 spies, but also of the people who believed the 10 spies, the people who followed their negativity and put their faith and trust in them. Those who follow those 10 spies and the negative folks, says these men were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land. They were struck down and they died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb survived. So who survived and who was able to enter into the promised land? It was those who believed in God, who trusted Him in spite of the circumstances. You want to get to your promised land? Whatever it might be. Whatever journey you think that God has you on, and whatever is going to not only benefit and bless your life, but more importantly, benefit and bless folks around you, then you need to believe that God can. Yes, He will. And yes, He can. Yes, He can. And yes, He will. However you say it. So I beg and I plead with you today as you leave here, not as a grasshopper, but as a giant in the Lord, as you leave here today, I want you to believe and know that God will prepare a way for you into your promised land, whatever that is for you. And I want you to leave full of faith, and I want you to leave full of hope, and I want you to leave full of excitement that you serve a powerful God who created the entire universe, but He still remembers you and your name. And what you need. And so I know that we don't do this very often, and it'll just be brief, but if there are any of you who just feel like you need a prayer, want us to pray with you, if you feel like you have the need of baptism, then we want this time to be a time where you say, I want to do that. If you feel like you need to. Some of you grew up with altar calls. Some of us grew up with invitation songs. Well, this is kind of that moment. And we don't ever want to single anyone out or you do anything that makes you feel embarrassed. You can do this in private just as well as you can in public. But some feel the need to just kind of make that proclamation in public. So if that be you, if you ever feel like you have the need of prayer, you can come forward at any time. And either I'll pray with you, Jim will, Angie, whoever. We got plenty of prayer warriors here. If you ever want to be baptized, it's still kind of cold, but I promise you we probably have the Orton hot tub to jump in if need be. Or if you just want to be a rebel and jump in the cold Duck River, I'll get in there with you. We've been in there even in February before, and it's cold, I can promise you, but it'll make you feel alive for sure. Just know that you're loved. And I am so excited and honored and humbled to be a part of a church that's not full of grasshoppers. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful day, for a wonderful sermon. Thank you, Brother Devin. Thank you, church. You know, Devin had said it before. We cannot do this without the good Lord Jesus and you. And we thank you all so much for the support that you give, for being here with us, for giving us the honor to be able to do the things that we need to do to try to make this a place where folks can just come and hear about Jesus. You know, we talked about being welcoming. Jason and I were just having this conversation that we just want to be able to talk about Jesus. We want to be able to open our doors. We don't care what background you come from. We don't care what you're wearing. We don't care who you love. We don't care. All we care is about the love of Christ and bringing those to you. So if there's not anything else, I will remind you that those who are in the play, the Living Last Supper, will be meeting over here for practice after church. So remember that, those who are taking part. Is there any other announcements before we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being able to come together, Lord, and just hear about you. Learn about you. Learn about your love, grace, and mercy, Lord, that you actually went and died on that cross, that you were actually tortured and beaten just because you loved us. Us that can be grasshoppers, Lord. You loved us. We thank you so much for being with us and keeping us safe throughout the day, Lord, and throughout the week. And we just pray that you continue being with us, Lord. And when we fall short of your glory, you're right there to pick us up, Father. We thank you so much for that strength. We thank you for our church family, Lord. And we just pray that you be with us as we're growing so we can bring others to your kingdom. Father, we just want to grow your kingdom and give you all the praise. And we thank you again for just being you. Heavenly Father, be with us, guide us, and protect us. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray.